So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless Father, heavenly us, we pray. Father, let your word come forth. Is it not like fire? And like the hammer that breaks the rock. Father, let your word come forth. Every word in me, shut up in my bones, let it come forth. In the name of Jesus, that we may be blessed and be like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see some empty chairs. One of our pastors told me that our evangelism, we have to do something about it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we are blessed in this church. How many of you believe? We are blessed in this church. We have Daddy and my brother Tawan, myself, handling the pulpit. Sometimes it's like Job and his friends. I think that if it's by age, I should be Elihu. Hallelujah. I'll try and speak some sense. If it's not correct, please talk to Daddy. We are just assisting him. Amen.
Amen.
So as a church, we have been looking at the topic of leadership for this quarter. Leadership, leadership, leadership. Daddy has just released one of his books on leadership. So you need to have a copy after this message. Amen.
Amen.
So we've defined leadership as influencing people to a goal, to a better future. And we've defined Christian leadership to mobilize, influence men to be like Jesus Christ. Today, we are handling the topic social leadership versus Christian leadership. Amen.
Wow.
And we are talking about the urgent need for Christian leadership within our social structures, economic, political, and academic structures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's interesting to note in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, we say that God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And he mentioned something. He said, let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that creeps upon the surface of the earth. And so you see strongly that we were to manage and rule over physical, social things. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 19, we understand that God himself came to Adam and asked him to name the animals, the things that he saw, and whatever name he named them, like I said, that was the name. Hallelujah. That was the name. That was the name. It was until the fall by Genesis chapter 3. And from Genesis chapter 6, from verse 2, the Nephilim and the sons of God came in, they destroyed the whole issue. By Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5, we see that men, the thought and intention of men were just evil. And they have become Jeremiah chapter 17, from verse 9. The thought and intention, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? They became that by Genesis chapter 6. But it is interesting, the first time grace is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 5 from verse 8. Let's read it. charismatic leadership, Christian leadership, grace. 6 verse 8. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8.
Genesis chapter 6.
Yes.
The verse is verse 8.
Yes.
And it says, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9.
Okay.
And it says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Behold the word of the Lord.
Amen.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
But Noah found grace, charismatic grace. Grace, charismatic grace. He found grace to lead men. When God created Adam and Eve, at that time, the spirit of man was so in line with God that the only thing he needed was just name animals. Take care of social issues. Because the spirit of man was in line with God. It was when man fell that God needed to give man grace to be able to lead the spirit of man. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you. The first part of my sermon is going to look at to exhort you. Just to exhort you. And then we'll look at the importance of taking advantage of your position, your academic status, your education, whatever you are in, to influence men for Jesus. Then I'll talk about how and maybe share some of my failures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it was by then that charismatic leadership came in. Now, if God is interested from the vision that we see from John in Revelation chapter 5 from verse 9 and Revelation chapter 7 from verse 9 and even Acts chapter 1 from verse 8, that you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit have come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. If this is true, then God needs something. He has to be in a position to be able to do this. Maybe let's read one of the Revelation chapters. Let's read the chapter 7, verse 9. Let's see the people that God is expecting in heaven.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 9.
Amen.
After these things I looked,
yes,
and behold, yes, a great multitude which no one could number.
Which no man could number. That's the vision. That's what we are supposed to meet, the target.
Of all nations,
yes,
tribes,
yes,
peoples, and tongues,
yes,
standing before the throne.
Standing before the throne. I want us to note the people who were standing there. No man could number from every tribe, every people, every language, every nation. I want to announce to you that God has ordained social leadership. Amen. God has ordained social leadership so that we work it out with Christian leadership to achieve this man in heaven. Maybe you don't understand. Let's read Romans chapter 13 from verse 1 all the way to verse 7. Romans 13.
Romans chapter 13, verse 1.
Yes, to 7.
All the way to verse 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority.
Let every soul be subject to the governing authority.
For there is no authority except from God.
There is no authority except from God. God has ordained social leadership.
And the authorities that exist are appointed by God.
Yes.
Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God.
If you resist the authority God has set in place, you resist the ordinance of God.
And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves.
Will bring judgment to themselves. We are talking about the fact that God has ordained social leadership.
For rulers are not a terror to good works,
yes,
but to evil.
Yes.
Do you want to be unafraid of the authority?
Yes.
Do what is good.
Do what is good. Don't litter around.
And you will have praise from the same.
Yes.
For he is God's minister to you for good.
He is God's minister to you for good.
But if you do evil,
yes,
be afraid.
Yes.
For he does not bear the sword in vain.
Yes.
For he is God's minister.
The policemen, they don't carry the gun in vain.
He is God's minister.
Yes.
An avenger to execute wrath,
yes,
on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake.
Also for conscience sake. God has ordained social leadership. Therefore, it is critical for Christians, for men and women in the church, to find themselves in those positions so that the agenda of God can be achieved. How about 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 and 2?
1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 and 2.
That prayer supplication.
Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications,
yes,
prayers,
intercessions,
and giving of thanks be made for all men,
yes,
for kings,
for
and
kings,
all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life,
yes,
in all godliness and reverence.
Read up to verse 4.
Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable,
yes,
in the sight of God our Savior,
yes,
who desires all men to be saved.
Who desires all men to be saved.
And
who desires all men to be saved.
And to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm sorry, if the president is a Muslim and you are offering prayers for him, for all men to be saved, how does it work? We need men and women of God, people in the church, rising up into those positions so that when we are offering prayers for them, it is possible for them to help us to achieve the souls for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, it's not only that God has ordained social leadership, he has done it in such a way that he wants it to work with charismatic leadership, Christian leadership, so that the goal of winning souls for heaven will be achieved. You know, in all the scriptures, there are so many examples. One of them that interests me is Nehemiah and Ezra. Nehemiah and Ezra. It's so interesting how God positioned this Nehemiah and positioned this Ezra to rescue his people. In Nehemiah chapter 8 from verse 9, let's look at how interesting the scriptures put it.
Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 9, and it says, and Nehemiah,
yes,
who was the governor?
Nehemiah was the governor.
Ezra the priest and scribe.
Ezra was the priest and scribe.
And the Levite who taught the people.
And he taught the people.
Said to all the people,
yes,
this day is holy to the Lord.
That's the point I want. Nehemiah said as a governor, and Ezra said as a scribe, a teacher. A teacher. If I want Ezra had gone and then they built the wall to a point and they stopped, Nehemiah came and they were able to finish the wall. Now look at something. Ezra, when they were moving back from exile, he told the king that their God will save them. So he was shy, he was afraid to ask for help to cross, to journey to Jerusalem. And so they fasted and prayed. Charismatic leader, thank you, it's not bad. Nehemiah, the very day he got the permission to go, he said, write letters for me. And God also used that to save his people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may not, it's like you're not getting what I'm talking about. There's a synergy, there's a work, there's intertwined, you know, social leadership and charismatic leader. God uses both to achieve his goal. There are some visas we are praying for. Fasting is good. But if God has his man or his woman in that embassy, that visa will be released.
Amen.
He uses both the Christian, the charismatic, and the social to achieve his goal. We are prayed and fasted. Yes, he will answer. But sometimes he will just use one man who is a person. Hallelujah. By this same Nehemiah, by Nehemiah chapter 1 from verse 4, the Bible said that he fasted and prayed. He was fasting and praying for broken down walls. Somebody, you see, that interest in your heart for your village, that interest in your heart for your people group, you have to work it out. You have to pursue it. That's where you win souls for God. That passion is not just, it's not just a feeling. That's where some of the souls that God expects in heaven, that's where they are. That interest that is in you, that wants to be a lawyer, is God wants to use it to win men and women in the legal service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How about David? In fact, when I look through the scriptures, I don't see a man that his doctrine is so sharp. Like, he knows God, and he knows God. He's so sharp. He knew. In fact, when Saul went to the washroom and he touched the garment, cut just a little bit, his heart, he felt that he had done something wrong. That's serious. Let's look at 1 Chronicles. Chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3.
Then David consulted with the captains of thousands,
yes,
and hundreds, and yes, with every leader.
Yes.
And David said to all the assembly of Israel,
yes,
If it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel,
yes,
and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands,
yes,
that they may gather together to us.
Yes.
And let us bring the ark of our God back to us.
David was the king, but he was interested in the spiritual life of his people.
Listen carefully. He was interested in the spiritual life of his people, even though he was the king. Now, when they tried to take the cart, they missed something. They missed something. And he reviewed it by 1 Chronicles chapter 15, read from verse 11. All the way to 13. You see what he missed.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 11.
First Chronicles.
And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests,
yes,
and for the Levites,
yes,
for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. He said to them,
yes,
you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites.
Yes.
Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it.
Okay.
For because you, the charismatic leaders, the pastors, did not do it for the first time,
The Lord our God broke out against us.
Now, you want to read on?
Because we did not consult him about the proper order.
The ark of God is supposed to be carried by the Levites. Even though David was in the position of a king, he was not in charge of carrying the ark of God. So he did not know the proper order. And you know the story of Uzzah. When they put the ark of God on a cart, the ark of God is not supposed to be on the cart. It's supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. And as he brought up his hand, the Lord struck him and he died. So David is now saying that, see, there's a clear difference between my governance, my kingship, and charismatic leader. Therefore, we need charismatic leaders to achieve this goal. But you have to understand that it took the zeal and the order and the authority of David for the cart to be brought. God uses both the social, the governance system, the politics. He uses those as the charismatic leaders to achieve his goal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? I want us to look at why we should find ourselves in these strategic areas. In our social sector, in our political sector, in business, in academics. On Sunday, our pastor Tawan told us, because of the value of human souls, because of the value of human souls. Some weeks ago, some national service people in my office I give them the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, two of them, a lady and a guy, the lady said, they call me Mr. Obed. So, they said the librarians who say Mr. to the first name, so they call Mr. Obed. So they said, oh, Mr. Obed. In fact, we think about, we see that, no, you are not supposed to be here. Some of the things you say. And the guy said, yeah, I thought about it. I said, sometimes when I'm going home and I remember some of the things you say, I said, no, you are not supposed to be here. For some time, I didn't know what to say. Then the Holy Spirit gave me a scripture. It's in Acts chapter 17. Let's read from verse 26.
Acts chapter 17, verse 26.
Yes.
And it says,
yes.
And he has made from one blood.
He has made from one blood.
Every nation of men.
Every nation of men. Elwes, Dagombes, Sisala, Kokombes.
To dwell on all the face of the earth.
To dwell on all the face of the earth.
And has determined their pre-appointed times.
And has determined their pre-appointed times.
And the boundaries of their dwelling.
And the boundaries of their dwelling. That's it. Me being in that office was pre-appointed, was destined by God. That as a time, such a time like that, I will meet those ladies, I will meet those guys, that I will change their lives forever. In Mark chapter 8, from verse 36, all the way to 38. I like the 38 because of what comes out. Jesus seemed to be saying the same thing in Matthew chapter 16, from verse 26. But let's read the Mark 8.
Mark chapter 8, from verse 36.
Yes.
For what will it profit a man?
For what will it profit a man?
If he gains the whole world.
If you gain the whole world.
And loses his own soul.
And loses his own soul.
Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
What will a man give in exchange of his life?
For whoever is ashamed of me and my words.
For whoever is ashamed of me. Some of you even pray on food in the canteen, you are shy. Pray on food. See, when you go to Tamar Stage, what's the name? Kantamantu.
When it is time for our brothers to pray, our brothers from the other side, you see the money changes, everybody will lay their mat and they are praying. They are not shy of you. And you see from the scriptures, even every food that Jesus got, even his grandpa, he will still give thanks. You. That small watch you have. You know, you are shy to pray. You are shy to tell somebody about Jesus. You are shy to speak about Jesus in your workplace. So this place, you know, it's a professional institution. Here we, you know, some. If you are shy of him, until a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. And when it dies, it bears much fruit. The value of human souls. If heaven and hell is real, then how you are behaving in your school? You are telling an opposite. It's a direct opposite message you are telling them because of how you are walking. The Christian life is not a quiet, hey, let me keep myself. You know, nobody should know I'm a Christian here. Hey, then you find yourself. You are supposed to go all out. Talk about Jesus. The value of human soul. You are in that office because God determined appointed that you be over there. You are that doctor. You are that person in a medical school. You are that person in the market. The woman you are buying the bread for. Yes, you say it's your favorite customer. God knows. You are account for her blood in heaven. The position you are holding in your office, you are supposed to lead men to Christ through that position. Hallelujah. That brings me to my next point. Why should we take advantage of social leadership to influence people for Christ? Because of the glory of God. That the glory of God will be seen. The glory of God will be seen. One of the scriptures that fascinates me is in Isaiah chapter
chapter 28. We'll read from verse 23 all the way to 29. But what I like is the 29. Let's read from verse 23. Isaiah chapter 28 from verse 23.
Isaiah chapter 28 from 23.
Yes.
Give ear and hear my voice.
Give ear and hear my voice. These are the teachings of God.
Listen and hear my speech.
Yes.
Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow?
Yes.
Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods?
Yes.
When he has leveled its surface,
mm-hmm.
does he not sow the black cumin?
Yes.
And scatter the cumin?
Yes.
Plant the wheat in rows,
uh-huh.
the barley in the appointed place,
mm-hmm.
and the spelt in its place?
Mm-hmm.
For he instructs him in right judgment.
God instructs the farmer. God instructs the accountant. God instructs the assemblyman. God instructs that MP. God instructs that vice chancellor. God instructs you. Yes.
His God instructs him.
Yes.
God teaches him.
Yes.
For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge,
uh-huh.
nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin.
Mm-hmm.
But the black cumin is beaten out with a stick. And they're coming with a rod.
Yes.
Bread flour must be ground.
Yes.
Therefore, he does not thresh it forever.
Wow.
Break it with his cartwheel or crush it with his horsemen.
Yes.
This also comes from the Lord of hosts.
This wisdom also comes from God.
Who is wonderful in counsel?
Who is wonderful in counsel?
And excellent in guidance.
And excellent in guidance. You see, you are a psychologist, dude. When you go to the office, the way you talk to people, and when they come out of your office, how they are relieved, your colleagues meet you and remember, how have you been doing? It is God. This also. You are a graphic artist. There's a way you do the work. When people pick your work, they want to read the Bible. When people see books, Christian books you have worked on, when they see the cover, they want to read it. Because God has given you wisdom. You see, this one is talking about how he's using the farmer as an example. God gives the farmer the wisdom. When to plant, when to sow, how to make the mango, how to mix before it is planted. The wisdom, the glory of God is seen in the works. The for want of a better word, the secular work you are doing. The wisdom of God should be seen. That glory will be given to God. That the same is, no, this can only be God. We are all accountants. But this woman, how she's doing, we can see that there's a God behind it. This also. There are a lot of people holding PhD. But when they see you with the pen, say, no, this guy, there's something, the glory of God is upon him. Because God has given him something also. Something also. So you're medical. All the time. You're a business woman. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Ecuador. You see, they are bank managers. But when you finish and you put all your data together, I say, no. We will be doing auditing, but how you do the work? We can see that it's only God. God uses that also. And men can begin to come near you. I wish I had someone's example, but let me share my own example. There's many a times a man will talk about his goodness. You see, some of these people, when they pass through my office, it's a few weeks or so. When I was coming from the university, I thought that I knew everything about design. But when I came to see you, I said that there's a lot I have to learn.
Wow.
Then he began to ask me. And then I found them, they wanted to learn. So I said, there was one
Muslim among them. So I couldn't do, my heart was for discipleship. So I said, let me have a workshop for teaching graphic design. So we had a workshop. And I started teaching them. Then I asked them to pray. One of the times I asked the Muslim to pray. She prayed. In fact, one of them out of that group is my disciple. She'll be coming to the retreat.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there are some people who admire you because how you are just wearing your, is it doctoral or the medical suit? You wear it and say, oh, my sister, you're so, they are from As Acts chapter 26 from verse 17 from verse 26. He has set you like that. And you told them how to smoke. You told them how to chase girls. You told them how to bargain in the market. As they have. You told them. That's what you told them. God uses those social areas of your life to bring glory to himself. In fact, when you see the Queen of Sheba, when he came to them, when he came to Solomon, wow. The Bible says, when he saw the servant, you see, sometimes when we see the servants in your house, we can see your wisdom. I went to a big man's house, and he was rebuking his gate man. He said, hey, you can't be wearing that slipper and be coming to bed. Now that you have seen that you have a camp, you want the camp. Because your wisdom can be told by the kind of servants you have in your house. The glory. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10 from his father, when he saw the things in the house of Solomon, there was no spirit in there. Wow. Because of how you put your house in order, your household, how you put your office together, men will travel from the U.S. to come and talk to them, to you, and you preach to them about Jesus. Men will rush to you because of how you carry yourself. When they see the glory upon your life, they say, no. We are all archaeologists, but for you, we want to talk to you. And when they come with all their questions, you say, do you know about Jesus? You know, one of this brings me to my next point. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we'll read from verse chapter 10. Let's read from verse 5 all the way to 7.
Ecclesiastes?
Yes, the preacher is talking about something. Yes, 10, 7, 5 to 7.
Ecclesiastes chapter 10, yes. From verse 5 to 7.
Yes.
There is an evil I have seen under the sun.
There is an error I have seen under the sun.
As an error proceeding from the ruler.
Yes.
Folly is set in great dignity.
Folly is set in great dignity.
While the rich sit in a lowly place.
Yes.
I have seen servants on horses.
I have seen servants. Tom, we have seen servants.
While princes walk on the ground like
sand. While men and women in the church, while men and women in the church are squatting, are fumbling, and our brothers from the other side are ruling over them. It is an error. We need to take charge of social leadership, political leadership, academic leadership. We need to take charge. That student movement on campus, you should be the leader. We need to take charge. I heard
one of the sad stories. You know this new temple tree that has been built?
Our brothers have built a prayer, a mosque in it. They built a mosque in it. If this is not error, if a Christian was in charge of that board, a church would be planted there. And they were making the announcement that they should come and use the place, because if they don't use the place, they would shut it down and use it for something else. Someone from the other side was on the board, and he made sure that there was, if our people with bombs and suicide, since go and enter there. They are praying, they don't rise up. That flight you are taking to Kosovo, where Afghanistan, to where bridge, you'll be brought right here. You know what is going on. Hallelujah. You are sitting down. That passion you are having for aviation, don't pursue it and see. God has set up pilots for you to bring to heaven. But because Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's an error. There's an error. There is an error. You need to correct it. You need to correct it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This brings me to my next point. And I've come to see that. You know, this social leadership is sometimes,
look on to give you a position in the church. As a Christian, look at David. Look at David. David was taking care of sheep. If only his father sent him to the battlefield to give things to his brothers, when he saw the battle, he said, no, 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 no. When they asked him, can you do something? He said, me. When the beast came after the sheep, a mighty man of warrior. Now this man said that when this sheep are taken by the beast, I chase after the beast. Hallelujah. And I opened the mouth of the beast and I took the sheep out. So the people of Israel said, I'm putting it there, not what the Bible says. I'm saying, if you can catch a beast and bring out a sheep, then you can win souls for God. So they gave him the bat. If I want you to take Saul's armor, he was not going to work. They took one stone, he rescued the people of Israel. You see, how you are managing your Christian life in the office should be what we should look on before we give you presbyter. Because when within that office, you are able to plant a church, you are able to create a small women movement for God, and you are, we see that now you have become a coach. So come to church and come and coach the rest of their ladies how to do it in their workplaces. Don't take those positions you have for granted. Don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. If you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, if you are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will give you true treasures? Who will give you leadership in the true place? The church of God. It is in Luke chapter 16 from verse 11. Let's I want us to read so that we see that it's Jesus who is saying it.
Luke chapter
16 from verse 11.
From verse 11.
Yes.
Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous,
if you have not been faithful with the few Ghana cities we've given you at your workplace, who will give you church finance?
Who will commit to you? Who will commit to your trust the true riches?
The true riches. So God also, when David by Psalm 78 from verse 72, you can check it. He said that, and David shepherded the people of Israel by the integrity of his hands, or his heart, and the skill of his hands.
Psalm 78.
Yes.
From verse
72.
72.
Yes.
So he shepherded them. According to the integrity of his heart.
According to the integrity of his heart.
And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands.
By the skillfulness of his hands. If he was able to take a sheep out of the mouth of a beast, then if we give him human souls, even when they are in the cave, they will rescue them for God. Sometimes, the position you are holding in that secular area, and how you are influencing men, you know, with the message of Christ, can determine whether we should give you leadership position in the church. For a football, after you have played, look at, I don't know whether some of you follow football, but Zinedine Zidane, he played, he disgraced himself in his final match, but today is one of the powerful coaches for me. In the whole of UEFA. Because now he has become a master. And so he can coach people and say, no, this ball, play this way. When you're working in the pharmaceutical service, this is how you preach Jesus. When I was at the medical school, this is how I did it. So, Chris, those who want to go to the medical school, when you go to, you want to go and preach, you become a coach because you did it and you achieve results. So we can give you head of youth ministry. Yes. Because you manage national service people when you are in your office. You influence them with Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe you don't know. You know, we are actually going to grow with Jesus. How some of us we are living, there's nothing leadership and rulership and all. There's nothing. Christian, you are going to preach. It's a Piotr. You buy the Piotr. Jesus loves you. Even in your own surrounding, you don't take care of. You are telling someone about Jesus' life. There's no leadership in your life. No leadership. You lift her around. You say, oh, hey, the garment, garment. Your own front, you know it, the silt. How many people, 70 what, in Ghana, if you go to Accra, recently they did the silting gutters along from Madina all the way to Accra also. To my shop, they took all those things out, and it was still there, cars were passing. I was getting back into the gutter. You see, look, we are Christians, look at our country. How dirty it is. We are going to rule with Jesus. If some of you know me, dear, I'm going to rule with Jesus. When we see your life, we must see some form of leadership. You see, integrity of your heart. In Revelation chapter 20 from verse 4, we are going to bring how you are, they give you small, your household, you are not able to manage it. How will you manage as an assembly man? How will you manage? When Christ comes and we are ringing and he gives me a place like US and he gives you like where? Wow. And I'm ruling. He looked at how I was living on earth and he gave me US. You see, Jesus is coming on. He is coming. And when the Antichrist appears, in fact, the Antichrist, one of the things he's going to do is going to rule in our social areas. He'll take charge of our economics. Before he comes, you need to take charge of the economy. You need to take charge of academics. You need to take charge of political sector. You need to take charge of those areas. Because when Jesus comes for his 1,000-year reign, we will reign with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, you need to learn. You need to learn. Among all what I've talked about, one of the pressing things that I want to talk about again is what I see in Jesus. You know, Jesus, when he took the fishermen, he did not end them. He had someone in the political area. You see, you need to take charge of that social leadership, influence men at your workplace, your school, your home, your neighborhood. Because God needs some disciples from those areas too. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27 from verse 57. The same thing is repeated, but read it in Luke chapter 23 from verse 50.
Matthew chapter 27,
yes,
verse 15.
27 from verse 57, sorry.
27 from verse 57, yes. Rather. Now when evening had come,
yes,
there came a rich man from Arimathea.
There came a rich man. Jesus said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. It's not only that, it's part. He has also sent me to make disciples. These are my own words. To make disciples among the rich and the political people. Because that's what the scripture is saying. Now, the real point will come out in the Luke version. Let's read the Luke 23 from verse 50.
Luke chapter 23 verse 50.
Yes.
Now behold,
yes,
there was a man named Joseph.
Yes.
A council member.
A council member. A political leader. A rich man.
A good and just man.
He was good. He was not rich and just a political. He was a good and just man. Why?
He had not consented to their decision indeed.
Yes.
He was from Arimathea.
Yes.
A city of the Jews.
Wow.
Who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God.
Who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. The Matthew account says that was a disciple of Jesus. What a disciple of Jesus. He was also a disciple of Jesus. You need to take things very serious. You have to take UN. You have to take UNICEF. You have to think. I say, you are standing in UNICEF. I mean, UN. I prophesied it to you some time ago. You are standing. We need people to move. Make disciples. If Kofi Annan, was a disciple Christian. Mama. He passed through your hands. I said, go and do that which you were able to do. We have the UN, but we have more controversy in the world than even when we set it up. Because there's no real disciple Christian standing there. Even if they are there, how many? How was their number? If the foundation is broken, it's destroyed, what can the righteous do? Go to Parliament. You see, that passion you are having for your people in your village, don't just end, just quench that fire. God needs your chief to accept Jesus. The reason why Christianity has not broken chieftains in Ghana is because we have not targeted the leaders. Because when you go to a typical village, we are hiding. We don't even want to go and greet the chief. But at the end of the day, you win this poor widow and this poor children, the king will come and pour that nation, and whatever evil will still follow them. If we target the leaders, you see, the influence, they will now say, no shrines, we are building only churches for God. Maybe you need to take up that position. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the sad things that I want to share with you is my life. It's my life. So, I went to Wisconsin. Hey, I'm not talking about U.S. Wisconsin, I'm talking about Ghana University. I went to Wisconsin, and I became the SRC president. The story before I became is long, so let me just cut it. I became the SRC president. I did nothing for God. I didn't even influence even one person with that position. I became properly discipled. Then we went, Gapers had a partnership with CBL. And so they shared the universities among us. And they mentioned Wisconsin. I said, oh, my alma mater, I'm going there. When I went to the campus, I was shocked. The amount of influence I had, the people who could rally around me because I'd come on campus, I could not find them. Even with the Gaffers people, when I ask them to come, sometimes they disrespect my authority. Then, I wish I could tell someone this. You know, I was former SRC. They would not even look at my face. I did what I could. At the point they invited me to come and preach at one of the services, it was myself. I think I don't know. I could have done something with that position. You know, it's on my document as once SRC president this year to this year. And nothing, no soul to show for it. One of the unfortunate statements we do here in our time is, oh, allow the children to make their own mistakes. It's very unfortunate. There are some mistakes You can't come back to tell the story. Today, I'm thinking about how I stand before God and I'll tell him what I did. You don't have to make that mistake. You don't. There's no wisdom in making that same mistake. I had influence. I had power to rally the hundreds. When they come, so it's in my heart. Francophone, people from Cameroon, Nigeria, and Guinea, and Congo passed through my house. Presto, nothing. Only God knows what I did. You don't want to repeat that same mistake. You want to be on your feet. You want to be on your feet. You want to tell God, all of you, yeah. Yes, I want to walk. I want to take charge. Just speak to God. Yes, just speak to God. Speak to God. Change it from your heart. Yes, that position is good. That position and my weapons. Yes, le prayers, minimo, so potoromo. Yep, cruise, minimo. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Le prayers of the mehead, the pools, the minimo, so potoromo. We will take that position. Yes, le prayers, the minimo, and we influence men and women for the kingdom of God. The pools, the minimo, le prayers of the mehead, the pools, so potoromo. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will rally ourselves as men and women, as military men, and we go all out, fishing souls out of the hands of beasts, the priests of the head, and the prayers, so controlled the Lord, and my prayer, the bruise, the minimate, the prayers of the head, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my prayer, the prayers, so controlled the Lord, in the name of Jesus, and whatever passion is in our hearts, the bruise, the in economics, the prayers of the head, the prayers of the minimum, in the banking sector, the prayers of the head, the man probably grows in the minimum. We will take hold of it and we'll influence the nations, we will influence the tribes, we will influence the prayers of the head, the men and women for Jesus, we grow so control of the world, and the prayers of the head, the man probably grows in the minimum, the prayers of the minimum, the man prayer, the prayers of the head. You know, in the Acts 1:8, he said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit have come upon you. Some of us, we have lost our first love. We have lost that passion. We have lost that striving, that burning in our bones to go after souls. If heaven and hell is real, our attitude must change. You want to pray for an infilling of the Spirit. You want to pray for a new, a fresh oil. You want to pray for a fresh oil. The pros, if you mean more, speak to the Lord for the fresh oil. For the fresh oil. The prayers of the head. He shepherded the people by the integrity of his hands. The skill of his hands. The man prayed, the pros, if you mean more. The prayers of the head. And after he was anointed in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him from that day forward. The pros, if you mean more. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. The prayers of the minimum, the man prayer, the prayers of the head, the priest of the minimum, the man prayers of the man prayer, the priest of the minimum. In the name of the Lord Jesus, fill us more. The prayers so good of the man prayer, the priest of the minimum, the prayers of the head. The prayers of the head, the pools of the minimum, yes, oil. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. The prayers of the head, he went about doing good. The prayers of the minimum, the man brought the prayers of the head, the pools of the minimum, the prayers of the head, the man brought the prayers, so called the words. Yes, the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. The prayers, so called the words. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.
us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, and we will go.
Oh, I can see the love in your...
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.